Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Here we go on lesson 16. This is lesson 16. The question is, where am I going? So this is all about discovering your purpose. It's a pretty important part of the Solid Man process. This is going to be an ongoing thing. So we start off with a quote from Gary Barkalow. If you want to know more about Gary Barkalow, you can go to thenobleheart.com. Here's the quote. Your life is far deeper, far weightier than you have probably come to believe. And that is why all of the career, calling, personality tests, assessments, and indicators have not helped a great deal at a profound level. You are more than you have ever imagined, and there's more going on than you have probably been led to believe. Unquote. And then here's a quote by Howard Thurman. Quote, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Unquote. Discovering your purpose. Discovering your purpose is the final exercise as you answer the fifth question, where am I going? The previous questions were important to answer to get you to this point, and that is to discover your purpose in your life. You would never be able to find the deep, true meaning of your life's purpose if you did not know where life truly comes from and connect to that, or if you did not know who you truly are at your deepest being, and if you did not know what you need or what you want. To be a strong, free man, you must answer those five questions. Now, upon that strong foundation, you can build the ultimate internally referenced outcome. Building a life of deep purpose and meaning. All of us on this journey know that there is something significant about our lives. But with an externally referenced life, you would never even be able to conceive what that is, let alone begin to live it out. Discovering your purpose requires a deep internal look. The journey of discovering your purpose will require a deeper look internally than anything you've ever done so far. Your Maximus statement was a great start, and it will guide you into the deeper place. Discovering your purpose will be a lifelong journey. So, in what ways are you aware that you've been created for way more than you see? The internal journey. This chapter will only be a start to your whole process of discovery. It's just a call out that you actually have a purpose. The real work of discovery will be your ongoing exploration of who you are deeply, what really makes you come alive, and what moves you, and what you've been interested in your entire life. As the quote at the beginning from Howard Thurman said, finding your purpose requires that you look to what makes your heart come alive. It's an internal journey. When we live an externally referenced life, much of our energy is placed in what others think or what would make us helpful to others. While this kind of seems normal, our lives will completely miss the mark if that's what you're shooting for. As with all other exercises you've done, this will require checking in with yourself. Doing what others think you're good at or what needs to be done is okay, but it will not allow you the opportunity to do what you were made to do. So how have you been stuck volunteering for something that did not fit you? Some guys, that's our whole life, just volunteering. The internal journey requires that you ask yourself some very important questions that come from deep within. What makes your heart come alive? What has interested you your whole life? How have you done things every time you've done things? What captures your attention? Or what seems to drive or motivate you? Your purpose is a significant part of life that most of us disregard. As an externally referenced man, you probably listened to everyone else's voice, but your own internal voice. You may have had someone in your life say something like, "You'd really be good at this," or, "If I were you, I would see if you could do that." While it is important to listen to important people in your life, people who are just trying to help really do not know your deep inner workings. What if others who are just trying to help said that you would be good at? Another concept that's really important is to check in with the midlife crisis. Before we go any deeper and ask some important questions, let's talk about something that happens to many men, the midlife crisis. Midlife crisis is a crisis of meaning. Everything you thought had meaning in your life has now been disrupted so much, you have no idea which end is up. No matter when it happens to you, it's always a deep disruption of what you thought life was all about or how you could be able to get what you wanted or needed. All at once, you realize that everything you worked for, everything you thought would bring meaning and influence, everything you invested in has given you no return on your investment. The crisis may start with a divorce, health issues, a layoff, a loss of job. It may be the loss of a loved one or the betrayal by a friend or an organization that you gave your life to. It may be caused by a serious mistake that you made, which resulted in estrangement from your kids or other family members. It may be because a very healthy boundary that you set, which was not received well. You may have lost a business or your 401k because of the market or a bad business deal. The midlife crisis is a crisis of meaning. It feels like everything is falling apart. Whatever it is, you lost it. You thought it would be here for you, but it's gone. All that you had bought into has failed. All that you had bought into has failed to deliver what you thought it would give you. Now you're empty, somewhat lost, and ready for change, which is actually good because it is time for real change. But most men just change the curtains. This is where the traditional path of finding a new job, growing a ponytail, buying a Harley, or upgrading to a newer model of wife happens. The problem with this is you're just doing the same thing over, with no thought to what really is going to bring true meaning into your life. You're still externally referenced. Since you're in a crisis of meaning because you've lost all that has had meaning to you, it's time to refine what actually has true meaning. Usually, this is where a man will begin to observe how externally referenced he has been his whole life. Now, becoming internally referenced will help find true meaning. Essentially, since now he has lost so much, he is now ready to make some real changes. So how have you experienced the kind of crisis of, the whole thing of the losing all that stuff? What kind of things have you lost in your midlife crisis? So let's discover meaning by asking the right questions. There are some people who coach others to actually create their purpose. If you want to be this or that, go for it. It's fruit ripe for the picking. But the truth is that we really can't create our purpose. It's not something we can make out of nothing, but it's something that's already there. That's what we want to find. Your purpose is hidden inside of you, even as you're reading this. It already exists within you. Your work in this exercise is to begin the process of discovering it. You will find it from a number of important clues. Those clues awaken your understanding of the deep truths of why you were put on this planet. Here's a quote from Mark Twain. Quote, "The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why." Unquote. This exercise will probably only begin to scratch the surface of finding your purpose, but hopefully you'll begin to move in the right direction. To get deeper into this process, consider some of the resources at the end of this exercise. For now, here's a few of the most important questions you can ask yourself so you can discover more about you. First question, what makes my heart come alive? Consider the things that move you. What makes you excited or gets you anticipating something? What are the things that really get you going? It could be spending time with certain people, or it could be going someplace. It could be doing something. It could be the preparation of doing something or going somewhere. When have you felt most alive? It could be sports, movie themes, getting up in front of people performing. It could be planning or organizing. It could be playing, seeing people grow or learn, reconciling relationships, or fixing stuff. Your heart is where your life is found. Let it come alive. It could be learning, risk-taking, building, destruction, or seeing awesome sights. It could be a good conversation, being alone to contemplate, growing things, rescuing, or saving. It could be a billion different things. So, what are some things that make your heart come alive? Take some time with that. The next question, what has interested me my whole life? If you look back, you will see certain patterns. What has captured your attention your whole life? What things keep coming up again and again? What comes up every time you have free time just to let your mind wander when you have no pressure or agenda? What is there? When you were a kid, you may have been enthralled by World War II or the Civil War. You were amazed at geography or different cultures. Perhaps you discovered math equations way before the teacher taught them in class. Things that captured you, you spent your time reading way more than you needed to on assignment. What were some of those things? You found out how things work and tore stuff apart to see what was inside. You explored under the house to see how it was built. You wanted to find out what made animals tick. You made everything a game for competition. You read voraciously, or you read nothing at all, trying to experience everything. What was your unique interest? And as a man, you see how you do things the same way as when you were a boy. What are some of those patterns that have been with you your whole life? Yeah, take some time with that question. The next question, how do I do things every time I do things? Think about how you do things, like the way that you do them. You may be a conformist and do the same as everyone else, or you may be an anti-conformist and do it differently. You may be innovative and have to do it in a new way. You may be a pragmatist and do it in the easiest or most efficient way. Every one of us have our own style of getting things done. Some of us focus on the task at hand. Some of us are more interested in interacting with the people we are doing it with. Some of us need to make whatever we are doing fun. What about getting into deep details of something? Or are you just concerned with the big picture? Knowing how you do things is a big part of discovering your purpose. So what have been a few ways that you always do things? I'm sure somebody like your wife or other friends, they probably can answer that for you. The next question is, what seems to drive or motivate you? You may be unaware of some of your deeper drivers or motivators in your life. They often stay quite hidden until we do look deeper. Or, like looking for a timid animal, you must wait quietly for it to come forward. or some of them are bold, like crows or roosters making themselves known in your face. As we saw in some of the initial Solid Man material, your drivers can be externally referenced. This is a significant thing to observe. Notice if things that are driving you are things like expectations or what might make other people approve of you. To discover your true mission, you'll need to find it from your internal resources. So notice if it's external and reboot. What moves you to do things and accomplish things? What are you driven to do? I have a friend who later in life began to climb all the highest peaks on each continent. His drive took him around the world and in the best shape of his life. Another man, a retired engineer, was compelled to build a business which would make it easier to purify water for drinking, and then made it available to people who needed it. Often, these drives seem to be way out of the box and not ordinary. Sometimes they seem very risky. Sometimes they seem boring, not so exciting. That doesn't matter. What matters is finding the thing that moves you to action and to make a difference in your world. So what are some of the things that have been driving or motivating you to action? And what's coming up that seems risky or out of the ordinary, or maybe even audacious? Of these questions, which answers seem to have the most weight or significance? Why do you think that is? The next part is called the waves of purpose. A man's purpose comes in waves throughout his lifetime. Sometimes there's 2, 5, or even more waves. Often we think our purpose or mission is one thing our entire life. It could be that way, but even then, it may be just a different context or a different way of doing that one thing. The important thing is not to tie down yourself to one thing in your entire life. You could even be moving on a path of purpose in 2 different things at once. Your mission could be doing something in a certain way, or it could be specific tasks. Our purpose comes in waves in our lifetime. Let's say your purpose is teaching, but in your life you've trained in a corporate setting, or taught urban kids life skills, or taught the 5th grade for 16 years. Maybe you're a maximizer and you developed a logistical flow for a trucking company, or helped create a protocol for an HR department, or developed storage and distribution for gear with your son's football club. Your purpose could be clearly distinct in different seasons, different pursuits. Take some time to consider how your mission has developed, what it looks like, and how it's flowing in your life. Here's a graph as an example. This is actually my waves. You know, your waves are going to be very unique to you. I have 3 significant ones. The first significant amount of my wave, and you'll just see this kind of like a wave, gentle sine wave. The first one, and they cross over. They don't just do the low spot. They cross over at the bottom. Because you start another one as the other one is finishing. So my first wave was my education. So this really started from when I was a kid, and it rose up when I was in high school and college. And as I really began to close that off with my master's degree and my postgraduate certificate in marriage and family. So my education really, really was a long period of time. And then my second wave, which started before my first wave was over, is my family. And that wave really took was a big wave after I finished my graduate degree. And then it started to end, and it actually ended in 2016. And I kind of make it where when my family, all three of my kids and my wife graduated from college, kind of gave me a really good closure that that part of my life is done. Even though I still, family is a giant part of my life, that wave really kind of finished. When they're all finished. So my youngest, he finished in December of 2015. And then my wife finished in May of 2016, which was a great milestone for our family. And that kind of had a big purpose in my life to get them through college so that if I died, they all could handle life, no problem. But I'm still alive, which is great. So the next wave of my purpose is with working with men. So the whole solid man thing, the work that I do with counseling men, everything I'm working with, developing what I do to impact and empower men, is my third wave of my life. And I imagine I'll be doing this to the very end. So if you can imagine three major waves, education, family, and now what I do with the solid man stuff. So I'll just read it out, what I have here. Very simply, mine has been these three things. My first purpose was to get educated from grade school to high school, college, master's degree, postgraduate certificate. I'm actually still learning today, obviously, doing a lot of reading. But this is a lifelong purpose for me, for sure. Second was my purpose of creating, providing for, and getting my family educated. I have three kids. Now everyone in my college, my family has a college degree. Like I said, even my wife, which is pretty dang exciting. So everyone is good to go if I die. Third has been my latest passion to see to it that as many men as possible are living empowered and solid lives. This is what my writing and my counseling practice is all about. This work is my passion. Eventually, there may be something else that comes up, but right now it seems like I'll die doing this. I take what I've learned and I'm making it so other men can build their lives into strength. So what do you think? And this takes drawing a graph if you want. What have been the waves of your mission so far? So the next one. A serious and common pitfall is making your woman your purpose. One of the most profound pitfalls for men that men have in life is making their woman their purpose, making sure she's happy, working your butt off to give her the standard of living that she wants, or just plain orbiting around her to manage her moods and anxiety are ways they greatly limit your ability to find your purpose in life. So living for your woman makes for very small living. Your life will become inward focused upon itself, forced into a tiny little space. Living for the pleasure of your woman creates a life with diminished influence or legacy. You will lose your potential to experience and live out your full purpose in life. You will lose your ability to develop an expansive life. Having your woman as your top priority in life is living small. Of course, trying to make her happy is so small when put next to curing cancer or inventing a life-changing device. But compare the idea of your woman's happiness to coaching young kids, tutoring inner-city children, or fundraising for homeless men. There's no comparison because you're changing the lives of people and making a huge contribution in the world. Your woman is important. I'll give you that. This is true. But she cannot be your main focus in your life. Often women push to be your main priority. But it's important that she is fourth or even fifth in your priority. Anchoring to your source is first, self-care second, your purpose is third, and then your kids and woman are next. This is an order of priority. This positions you to have the most influential life as possible. So in what ways have you been caught in making your woman happy? And what does it feel like to read the list of priority where your woman is number 4 or 5? Abundance. Most people live with a scarcity mindset where there's not enough to go around. Not enough power, not enough money, not enough of anything. So when a man begins to consider his purpose, often the thought is, dang, I've really missed my purpose. Why did it take until now for me to wake up? I've missed my whole lifetime of living out my purpose. This is true if you're well on your way in life or if you've lived an externally referenced life. You find yourself in positions where you're living for others and never really looked for your own internally driven mission. So we think life sucks and because of that, I miss the bus. This is scarcity thinking. Here's a quote by Thomas Merton. It says, quote, "A man knows he has found his vocation when he stops thinking about how to live and begins to live," unquote. you must make the shift to abundance thinking. Abundance means there's enough to go around, not only enough, but more than enough. It's true that you're starting late with your purpose, but now is the most beautiful time to begin to move with passion. If you dwell on scarcity, I've blown my life, you will be stuck. You don't look back, look forward with abundance. You can find this. Don't live in the past, begin to live now. There's so much to be experienced and enjoyed. So how have you been stuck with scarcity? In what ways do you feel like you've missed the boat on living your purpose? In what ways could you begin to powerfully live in abundance? Your glory. Every man has glory. This is a word that's rarely used for people. Glory is also known as brilliance or radiance. It's the thing that defines the most significant or powerful part of something or someone. Everything and everyone has glory. It is easy to be convinced that you're made of base materials or have insignificant or menial existence. But if you get stuck in that kind of thinking, you'll never discover your purpose in full. The process of discovering your purpose is the same as discovering your glory. Even considering the idea that you have glory in your life feels arrogant or prideful. But if it's true, it's not arrogant. It's just truth. It's not arrogant for Michael Jordan to say something like, "I am possibly the best basketball player that's ever lived." Or for Cindy Crawford to have said, "Because of my mole, I am one of the most beautiful women in the world." These things sound arrogant up front, but it's not arrogant because it's true. The same is true for you. There's something about you that is your glory. You bring something unique, beautiful, and strong, which influences and changes the world because you are here and you know what you bring. So how does it feel to consider that you have glory in your life? And what things come to mind about your glory as you think about this idea? Branding. A concept that describes your purpose in today's world is the idea of personal branding. Branding is taking your talents, skills, and passion, or your purpose, and making yourself known in a specific way to the people around you. So toot your own horn. It's not just creating a logo, but courageously getting your authentic self out there into the world. It is tooting your own horn. Most of us have a really hard time doing this because it seems arrogant to say, "Hey, over here, look at me." It's not arrogant. It's just being you and getting you out there. It feels vulnerable to get yourself out there. As you are discovering and redefining your purpose, begin to think about how you can talk about it. Create an elevator speech, saying what or who you are in a couple sentences. Begin to think about what your web domain might be. I chose solid man because I believe the word solid is the best individual word that describes a good, strong man. Your goal will be to take your passion and make a dent in the universe. That's by Colby Kay. Consider what kind of platform you might use to get yourself out there and your message out there. There are a million ways. Your Maximus statement would be a great place to start. You've already started the process by putting words into who you really are. So what seems awkward about tooting your own horn? What ideas have come up already about concepts that could be part of your branding? And how about domain names, keywords, descriptors of who you are or what you do? So use this page to write down any thoughts or notes about what you might be thinking about your purpose in life, remembering that this exercise is just a start to even thinking about what it might be or what form it might take. So what makes you come alive? What are you interested in? What would you love to do? How would you want to change your world? What are you really good at? What have you already been involved in that you really love? So this is the group presentation of the main questions. What are things that make your heart come alive? What has interested you in your whole life? How have you done things that could be your purpose? Or what unique things have motivated you? How have you had a crisis of meaning? What has this revealed to you about what is important to you? What have been the waves of your mission so far? And show the group your graph. How have you gotten stuck with having your woman as your purpose? Why do you think that is? In what ways do you feel like you've missed the boat on living out your purpose? What concepts could be part of your personal branding? What have you come up with that is your purpose and aspects of your glory? Now share some other important insights that you've gotten from this exercise. So a couple resources I have. I talked about Gary Barklow from thenobleheart.com. He has a book called It's Your Call. It's a really good book on purpose. Also, Gary does weekend retreats just for that purpose. So he's discovered that that's his purpose. It's helping people find their calling and purpose. Another one is called Halftime by Bob Buford. And Bob does he also is working on helping people discover their purpose. So that is our lesson for today. We'll talk more. And as always, stay solid, my friends.